Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's turn over to Philemon. Thank you, Lord. It's right before Hebrews. Philemon's a little tiny book, one chapter, right before Hebrews. It's less than half a page, or less than a full page in my Bible. We're going to continue talking about what we started a few weeks ago, just our identity in Christ. And we'll be talking about facets of this, I believe, for a while. We're going to talk about some things here, though. We're going to pick up in this scripture that we kind of have used the last three times. It's one of our texts. In verse 4, everybody there? It says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now look at your scripture sheet, and we'll read this in the Amplified. Just verse 6 there says, and I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition. Now get these words. Amplified is amplified. There's more words there. There's just kind of brings out the connotations and the different words. But just get a hold of some of this. And promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto His glory. Thank you, Lord. By the precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours. I like that. That is ours. It's ours. It is ours. The Bible says we have an inheritance. Jesus has obtained for us. He said, here it says, every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus. Notice it didn't say everything that you earned by all the great things that you've accomplished. No, it said in Jesus. He bought and purchased them for us. Amen. They're ours. Amen. Sometimes people say, well, if they're mine, why don't I see them in my life? Well, this is what we're talking about. Part of the problem is sometimes we don't know what is ours. We have it, but we don't know to take advantage of it. Has anybody ever had an electronic device, especially in this day and age, that maybe you had some features on there that you didn't take advantage of because you didn't know about them? But they're there. You couldn't say that you didn't have the ability, right? Man, if you have some of these smartphones, you know, there's all kinds of things. And they're extendable because now you have apps you can download. You couldn't say you don't have the ability to do certain things. You know, somebody could say, hey, well, you know, you could be talking to one of your friends and say, well, I wish I could do this. They said, don't you know you can download this app and that'll do that for you? Oh, really? Now your life's changed, right? All of a sudden, you didn't know about something, and now you know about something, and now you can take advantage of it, right? Yeah. Now you had the ability, right? Yeah. You had it. You may have already had some things that came with the phone that are there. Well, I don't know. I wish I could do this on my phone. You just do this and this, and now you can do it. Yeah. You had it all along. This is part of the problem in the body of Christ.
That's right.
So many people have been religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught.
Ooh, that's good.
So they have been brainwashed with what they think the Bible says. You realize this is why it's so important. This is why we have a sheet. This is why not only do we have a sheet, but you look in your Bible. Do you know how important that is? Because a lot of people think they've heard something the Bible says and it says no such thing, but they just said, well, the preacher said it, so must be true, and it's nonsense, and it's wrong, and it's... That'll give the wrong connotation, so I won't say it. But it's not right.
That's right.
So we need to know what the Bible says. Sometimes, I mean, have you ever read a verse, you thought you knew what it said, and then somebody was talking about it or something, you actually looked at it and said, Well, I'll be. That actually does say, you're right. I thought that said something else, but you're right. When you read it, it actually says something different. Well, we have all kinds of these ideas. Excuse me. We have so many ideas that are, they're not Bible. They sound good. But they're really just philosophy. When you break it down, they're not in the Word. And we have to be careful about this. I've done it. You've done it. Probably every Christian has at some point. We all have certain things that we believe that aren't Bible. Let's just, okay, everybody does. None of us in here have a 100% renewed mind. But some of these things, I've done it, where I've held on to something. And I realized, wait a minute. I came to realize, and I'm talking about been through certain things, grown up in certain, you know, Word of Faith churches, but come to realize I picked up an idea that was not Bible. But you can hold on to those type of things, and you can say, yeah, but, and what you realize is that's just what somebody told you or you heard, and you'll hold on to it. And then you realize, wait a minute, but that's not what the Word says. And this is where the rubber meets the road sometimes. You'll look at something, and if you're holding on to something that is in fact actually a lie, can something rise up on you in the inside of you and say, but so-and-so taught me this, and you can be offended.
Yeah, that's right.
You can be staring at the Word. And the devil's right there to help you misunderstand, say, oh, no, they have a misinterpretation. But that's why you have to go and be convinced yourself. I've done that with certain things.
Yeah.
Looked it up in 30 translations. Thought a scripture said certain things. Or came to believe, this is kind of my little theory on this scripture. You know, Brother Hagin always say his definition of a theory? A theory is a supposition based on ignorance of the subject under discussion. I'm going to say that one more time. A theory is a supposition based upon ignorance of the subject under discussion. In other words, you came up with a theory because you don't know the truth. You don't know what the reality is, so you come up with a theory about what may be. And that's exactly a right definition. People come up with theories. You don't need a theory if you know. If you know how something works, if I built it, I don't need a theory. I can show you exactly how it works.
It's very good, yeah.
A theory is when, you only need theories when you're ignorant of what the truth is. So if you have a theory, well, my theory about how the Bible goes together is this. You just showed we don't need theories. What we need to know is let the Bible speak for itself. And when you find yourself, and we've all done this, I've done it, tried to explain something, and you're like, you know, well, you just can't really get it from maybe these scriptures, but, I mean, I haven't said that exactly, but that's kind of what you're thinking. You just kind of have to catch this because I can't really explain it to you from the Bible. That's a problem. It's a problem. If you can't find it in the Word, you need to discard it, period. I don't care who said it.
Amen.
We need to know what the Word says. We need to know what the Bible says and discard anything that's not Bible.
Amen.
And believe me, if you live on this earth very long, you're going to find some stuff in your understanding that's not Bible. So what do we do with it at that point? Well, we want to know the truth. What are we talking about? We're talking about who we are, what Jesus has done for us. And we are saying, some people say, well, why don't I have it then? Well, this is what we're talking about. We have to know what the Bible actually says about what Jesus has done. And as we find that out, now we can start to say, oh, you mean I already have that and this is how I access it? Oh, thank you. Now I can walk in it. Oh, that's why that didn't work 5 years ago. And here I've blamed God, but now I see it. Thank you. It's in the Word. I can see where I went wrong. I can see what God is saying. It's never God's fault. Okay? Now, I'm not, don't take, some people take that as, oh, it's all my fault, right? You're just beating me up. No, but that's the truth. You have to get to that point first before you can solve the problem, because if you think God's the problem, that's a problem. Okay, you're not going to get your answer if you think God's the problem. Well, I did everything. No, you didn't. I did everything and it didn't work. No, you missed it somewhere. That's true. Okay? You have to come. It may have been your misunderstanding of what Jesus had already done, but it's still our problem. Okay? I know some people will beat you over the head and say, oh, it's all you and you're messed up. No, we're not saying that, but it's not God. Okay, so we have to come to say, it's not you, God. If there was a problem, I know it's on my end. Just show me. Show me where what I need to do. Where was my believing wrong? What misconceptions did I have? What junk did I have in my mind that I wasn't seeing clearly, Lord, what you had already provided? Because we know that's where the problem is.
Amen?
Amen? Yes. You see the difference?
Yes.
Because that's just the truth. None of us, it's arrogance. It's closed-mindedness to say, well, I did everything and it just didn't work. People reject God because of that, and it's the devil's tactic.
Right.
It's offense.
Yeah.
He says, oh, you did it. That faith stuff didn't work. I've seen people, heard about, sure you have too. Oh, that doesn't work. That's just off in the corner because I tried it and it didn't work. What were you trying? Were you trying something you heard, or did you find it in the Bible and you believed what God said? Because if you found what God said and you believed Him, then what are you saying? His word didn't work? It didn't. See, what usually happens is somebody hears something, kind of understands something, tries to step out on something that they think they understand. They don't know the word on it. They don't know what God has truly said. And then they think it doesn't work. And they say, well, that didn't work. You never convinced that it was God's word in the first place. What we have to get is to where we believe this is what God said. If God said it, no, He said in Romans 10, 8 and 10, that if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you would be saved. Okay, is that the truth or not? Okay, so that's one example. We believe this was salvation. Well, it's true with every other area.
Come on, that's good.
So we have to know what the Word says, what the Bible says. And this is not trivial. This is basic, but so many people blow past this. They hear a tape, they hear something, and instead of getting faith, instead of finding it out for themselves, they skip right past it and they go into try to believing and standing. They don't have anything to stand on. They've heard something, and they say, okay, well, so-and-so did it, so I'm going to do it. They go right past the whole process of you becoming convinced of what God said and that it's God that said it and not some man.
Yeah.
And then they wonder why it, quote-unquote, didn't work. No, it worked. The process works. It's just that maybe we didn't know some things, and we've all done that. We've all been guilty of that. But we don't have to keep going in that era. We can say, you know what, Lord? You have better things for me. And I want to know what you have to say. So don't take my word for it. Don't take anybody's word for it. Get in the Word and look at the Word and say, yeah, that's what you're saying. And be convinced that that's what that Scripture actually says. That it's not just, well, I don't really understand how all these Scriptures go together, but your Word's good enough for me. Okay, I guess I'll believe it. It's not going to work. Not going to happen. I'm not saying, you know, you may not get something once in a while, but what we have to do is look at it and say, yes, I see that. Okay, I understand that. Yep. Okay, yeah, see that. Yep. Okay, God said it. All right, here we go. I believe it. That's how people get born again. That's how we get answers from God.
That's right.
Amen. This is the process. This is what we're doing this morning. So He said in verse 6 that the shearing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That was New King James. Hallelujah. The things that are ours. Thank God. And so we talked about that a little bit last couple weeks. I want to go to John. Let's go over to John. Now, why don't we just drop this facade that we're supposed to know everything And that, you know, if you've been in whatever circles you want to call them, faith or, you know, grace or whatever, that, well, now you know everything. So, you know, you don't want to act like you don't know something and act like you may be ignorant of an issue. None of us know it, okay? I don't know everything. No human being on the face of the earth has it all together. So if something's not working, why don't we just be honest and say, you know what? I could use some light here. I don't understand. Okay, we're all growing. We're all walking through things. You having something to walk through in your body is not defeat. Okay, it just means your healing is on the way, and that something that God has already provided it, and it's just there's some kind of delay because of something maybe you're not understanding. The delay is never on the sender's end, but sometimes we just are getting through and wading through some of this junk that we've been programmed with, and then, you know, it's obscuring the truth, and then finally we're trying to see it, but we just can't wrap, and then we see it. We see, oh, okay, I see where my problem was. I'm not saying it has to take forever, but I'm saying this is what happens. We have so much junk in our mind. We need to get through that. The answer's simple. Man, if somebody's a clean slate, not been pushed one way or another, and they're presented with the truth, boy, they can believe. But it's the whole thing Satan is trying to stop is our revelation of what Jesus has said. So let's just get to the point where we say, you know what? We're all in the same boat together. We're here to help one another. Let's just drop the pride and thinking like, well, I know everything. I know, well, it couldn't be something I don't know. No, let's just say we have an understanding of the Word. We're endeavoring to get more light on it and just walk with Him and just help each other. And if some brother or sister's going through something, we're there to encourage them, not say, well, I guess your faith isn't working. That's stupid. Yeah. We're siding with the enemy at that point. Yeah. We're jumping on his, they already have enough. You know what it's like when you're walking through something. You don't need somebody to come out and point certain things out to you. That doesn't do any good for you. That just helps the enemy push you. You got to deal with thoughts and stuff then. Let's surround each other with faith and love.
Yes.
If somebody's going through something, surround them with faith and love. Yes, love them. Believe in them. Yes. Surround them with words of faith and encouragement. Yes. That's why we get together. Keep our tank full so that we can go out and run through these problems of life. When you isolate yourself, stuff starts waning. You got to keep yourself pumped up.
Yes, that's right.
Hallelujah. John 1, verse 12. I like this scripture. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. We could go back a little bit.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Verse 10. This is talking about Jesus. He was in, John 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. And the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right. I like that. In my margin, that word right is authority. That's that word. The authority. To become children of God. Oh, that does something for me. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right or the authority to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. That's what happened. When we believed on God, we were given authority. We were made new creatures, and now authority is vested in us. We have authority to become the right to become children of God. And when we're born again, something happened. Right? What we're talking about right now is something that so many people are ignorant of.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God.
Yes.
Glory to God. We are children of Almighty God. This is what I want to focus on today. Children of God. God has provided an inheritance for us. Our identity in Christ. We are His children.
Amen.
What does the Bible say? Adam was made in His image. Hallelujah. Think of that. He was made in His image. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
In His image. We are children of God, like Him. Just think of what God is, and when we read the Bible and all the different things that it, His attributes, we are made in His image. Spiritually, we are like Him. Can you imagine somebody... Hallelujah. I'm not going to go there. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. But we are made in the image of Almighty God. I want to say one thing. There were these missionaries that we were familiar with in Lincoln, Nebraska. They weren't in Lincoln, Nebraska, but they were in... Now, I don't remember exactly. Where were they? South America. It doesn't matter where they were, but they were down in South America. They'd probably come to me. But anyway, we supported them as a church. And they would come and speak. And Panama. And I remember one, when they were speaking one time, they said something just went off in me. When they were down there, they spoke through some circumstances. I think there was this witch doctor that got born again. And they were talking to this witch doctor. And he said to them, Christians do not realize the power that they have. The witch doctors do. He said, when you come, when a Christian walks through the forest, and it's like it's all dark, spiritually speaking, he said when a Christian comes walking through the forest, it's just like this light that's emanating from them, going all around them, coming down the path. And the witch doctors know it. They can see it. They can sense it. They're spiritually aware. They're on the wrong side, but they're spiritually aware. He said, Christian comes down, it's just like this emanating power coming down. He said, but most Christians don't know they have that.
That's right.
And so the witch doctors can exercise authority over people that are ignorant. But we're not going to be ignorant.
That's right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I've seen that ever since. I've seen that so many times. You just walk around just like this light coming out of you. It's the spirit of the Almighty God. When we walk down the pathway, you just have to see yourself walking. When you're walking among people, you're walking through an airport. You're a son or a daughter of Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
Just see yourself. You're walking down, you're walking through a crowd of people, you're in downtown Boston, walking, there's a light around you. And the demons know it. There's some things we're going to be getting into later, not today, down the road. The demons know it.
Right.
And they tremble. They tremble. Hallelujah. What does 1 John 4:4 said? Greater is He who is in you. What did He say right before? My little children. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. What's He talking about there? He's talking about evil spirits. Greater is He. You've overcome them. Be of good cheer, my little children, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Don't ever be afraid of demonic activity. Glory to God. But we have been given authority to become children of God. Hallelujah. We are children of Almighty God. Hallelujah. We are children of Almighty God on this earth. That we're not walking as beggars through the heat and the cold or anything like one song said. No, we are children of Almighty God on this earth. Christianity in a lot of realms has dumbed it down to where we're just saved by His grace and we have fire insurance. We're not going to hell, but that's about it. You still have to kind of wander through this earth and do the best you can just like everybody else. That's not true.
That's right.
It's just kind of like it dumbs Christianity down to be natural. You're saved, but you know, you got to go through everything. If some sickness attacks your body, well, that's just the way it is. It's natural. No, it's not. Not for a child of God.
Amen.
Not for a child of God. We have an inheritance. Now, if we don't know it, Satan will push it off on us. And we just have to say, no, you get out.
Right.
We have to stand up. But we are children of Almighty God. You think of the Spirit of the living God living inside of us, walking wherever you go. The Spirit of the living God's there. We are children of God.
Amen.
Children of the Almighty. We are in this earth, but we are visitors here. Our home is in heaven, where the streets are paved with gold. It could run through $1 billion pretty quick in just a few steps. Money's nothing to God. Nothing. And you don't care how much you have of it, as long as it doesn't have you, it's to work for the kingdom. It's just a tool. Because if we're blessed, we can bless other people. Hallelujah. Our God, our Father, is rich. He said, in heaven there are many mansions. Hallelujah. But we are children of God. Children of God. He lives. He dwells in inside of us. He makes His home within us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That light, that power is emanating from us. We are not to walk through like everybody else, like an unsaved person walks through life. No. No. That's a lie of the devil that he's tried to hoodwink us with, and he has succeeded a lot trying to make us think we just got to deal with certain things because that's just the way it is in this earth. No, it's not. No, it's not. God has all power and authority, and we're His children. And He's given us power and authority on this earth because we are His children. Thank you, Lord. Let's read a few scriptures to this effect. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at your scripture sheet for a moment. 1 John 3:1-2. It says, "Behold," this is for the sake of time, let's just look at the sheet. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God." And then it goes on to say in verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God." We are children of God. Say, "I'm a child of God."
I'm a child of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Let's go over to Galatians 3. Let's turn there. Galatians 3, verse 26. Galatians 3, verse 26.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Galatians 3, verse 26. "For you are all sons of God and daughters through faith in Christ Jesus." Through faith. That's how we became sons and daughters of God, is through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Baptized means to dunk. This is not talking about literally water baptism. There are baptisms. Not going off on this right now, but it's talking about you are in Christ. You've been made in Christ. That's like you're in the pool. Baptized just means to dunk. We've been put into Christ.
Amen.
Okay? It'll make this say something it's not. It's saying, "For as many of you as we're baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." You're in Christ. There's so many verses talk about you being in Christ, through Him. That's what you're in Him.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. Verse 26, for we are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Children, sons and daughters of the Almighty. Hallelujah. When we think of Him in all His splendor and glory, then you say, I'm His son. I'm His daughter. Glory to God. And all that entails. Is God helpless? Is God powerless? Is God sick? Is God, you know, barely getting by? No. That's our daddy. I said, that's our daddy. He's our daddy. Glory to God. So we have this identity. We have this inheritance because Jesus purchased it for us. What? Like a good daddy is going to let his child, an earthly father, is going to see his child in need and say, oh, well, you'll make it. I'm not going to help you today. No, we would never see that happen. I'm talking about a good father, okay? There are fathers that do that. God, who He is and all He's done and all He's given us, is just going to let somebody go without? No. There's certain things He's done, what He needs to do. There is a man part and a God part. He's provided. Part of what we're doing is finding out what has been provided so we can cash in, so we can take.
Yes.
He would not leave us helpless. And He hasn't. Thank you, Lord. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Let's just skip down a little bit. Verse 4 in chapter 4 there. It says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Hallelujah. We are heirs of God. Verse 6, let's read that again. Actually, verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. We were in darkness, but now we're in light. We're adopted into the family of God. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart. I'm going to say that part again. Just let it sink in. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart. Your heart's crying out, Abba, Father. That Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, dwells in us. And you can see why there's a light in the spiritual realm when you walk around. Because the Spirit of Christ is in you. A Spirit of Jesus. When we walk around, there is an aura around us. This isn't make-believe. This is real. This is Bible. Because the Spirit of the living God walks in you, lives in you, dwells in you, dwells in us, because we're sons of Him. It says, verse 7, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir. Then an heir of God through Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God, an heir of God through Christ. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's skip down to Colossians. Let's go over to Colossians. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's start in verse 24, Colossians 1, verse 24. Paul says, I now, or the Holy Spirit through Paul, says, now I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church. Hallelujah. Not going to go off on this too much, but notice that. People get all, what does that mean? I rejoice in my sufferings for you, fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. With all these other things we're talking about, is that talking about somehow suffering what He already bore? No. But there is suffering in the body of Christ. There is. The Bible talks about it over and over. We're not going to go into it. But there is suffering. What is the suffering He's talking about, though? What does He say? I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Yeah. My sufferings for you. See, if you're going to follow God, there are things that your flesh may suffer. Amen? There may be some things that your flesh doesn't want to do. But why are you doing it? This goes back to what we were saying earlier. Why are we still here? For ourselves? No, because there are people that need to be helped. There are people that need to be reached. So whenever you are suffering something, ask yourself, am I suffering this for the cause of Christ to get the word out because somebody needs to be helped? Or am I just suffering? If you're just suffering, lying in bed, you're not doing yourself or anybody else any good. And in fact, you're hindering the work of God. I mean, the work of God is hindered because you can't get up, because you can't do what you need to do. That's not what He's talking about. He's not talking about suffering things that Jesus bore, but there is a suffering that you're going to put your flesh down, put your will down. Did Jesus suffer in the garden?
Yes,
He did. He said, not my will, but your will. Now, who was He doing this for?
Us.
It needed to be done. It says, for the glory that was set before Him. The same thing with us. Is He our master?
Yes.
Is He the head of the church?
Yes.
Well, we're going to do the same thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He didn't redeem us from suffering for His cause.
That's right.
He didn't say, and this again, church has missed it, and make everything be like, well, you just do whatever feels good and you want to do, you know, you find your place. You don't find your place by finding out what feels good. You find your place by going to the head of the church and saying, what do I do? What do you want me to do? What are my orders, sir? And whatever He tells you to do, you do.
Just do it. Amen.
And it may be hard on your flesh sometimes. Your flesh may have to die in a few places.
Mm-hmm.
You may be asked to do things you don't necessarily jump up and down and do, but you have to trust Him. And you have to say, God, I believe You and I trust You. I can't see everything, but I know You're good and I trust what You're doing. And Lord, I think I'll just obey You because You're smarter than me. And I'll just do what You want me to do and my flesh is just going to have to get used to it. Shut up, flesh. We're doing this.
That's right.
If God said to do it, it's the best thing. That's what we're doing. Nobody asked you, flesh. Shut up. Nobody asked you, mind. Shut up.
Come on.
And you just get on the right thing and say, God, if that's what we're supposed to do, that's the order of the day. That's what I'm doing. Yes, sir. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hard. Well, Jesus, you tell me that was just a piece of cake for Him to go to the cross for us?
No.
And He's our example. So if we're going to follow Him, We may have to lay some stuff down. Anyway, I think that's good enough on that. But fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body. See, what is he doing for other people? Which is the church. Verse 25, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you. So much here. We're not going to go into it. But was given stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Okay, so I'm going to say one thing here. What did he say? He became a minister according to the stewardship of God. A stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Do you call yourself to any specific ministry? Do you call yourself? No, you don't. Who calls you?
God.
Who set gifts in the body of Christ? God. So don't judge people. Don't judge another man's servant. If God told him to do it, then you let it be between them and God. Okay? And don't say, well, I wouldn't do it that way. It's not up to you. It's not up to us. Okay? We need to just say, we need to worry about ourselves. And if God's telling us to do something and we believe we're called to something, then that's what we do. And we do it with all our heart. But God's the one that calls. You realize you cannot put yourself into any ministry. You can't put yourself into any vocation in life. You say, well, I just want to be a business owner. Did God tell you to be a business owner? Because it's not a piece of cake. And when the going gets tougher, are you going to lean on your own self or are you going to lean on God and say, God, you told me to do this, so it's going.
Amen.
Because you told me. Well, I just think I'll be an engineer. Well, did God tell you to be an engineer? It's the same thing. Did God? Hey, well, I just believe I'll go start a church or I'm just going to preach to people. Did God tell you to do that? Did God tell you to do that? Did the head of the church tell you that's what your assignment is? Just because you know the word doesn't mean everybody's supposed to go and be a preacher. Even if you go to Bible school.
Amen.
Okay? We need plenty of people that know the word out in the workforce. We need to know what God told us to do and do that. Then you're obeying him. There is no, well, I'm more important than you. Or there's none of that. That is all man and that is pride. We ought to do what God told us to do and be obedient to what he told us to do. And then we're going to stand before him.
Amen.
And answer.
Amen.
Don't get into your head and say, well, I want to preach 1,000. Did God call you to do that? Well, I'm just going to go found the next, tech company. Did God call you to do that? If we just, we talked about earlier, I just want to go to this church because God, I just feel good about. Did God tell you to go there? Because your destiny is tied up with that.
Good.
You don't go and say, well, I just think it's cool. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with what are we. Are we listening to him and taking orders from him?
Amen.
And it may not just make us have goosebumps all the time. It is not about us. It is not about us. Well, I just don't feel like doing that. Tough. I'm not being hard on anybody. I'm saying we got to be hard on our flesh and say, look, this is the way it is. Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So notice Paul said, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's read verse 27 again. To them God willed to make known what are the riches. See, God wills to make this known. God wills to make this known. It's not God's will for us to be in darkness and be ignorant of what has been given to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Christ in us. Because we are children of Almighty God. Amen. We have the God of all creation dwelling on the inside of us. Children of God. Children of God. Children of God. Children of God. Say, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, because I am a child of God. Hallelujah. Say, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. He is in us. He is in us. He is in us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Tell me who it is that can be against us if God's for me. Who is it? Satan tried it. He got kicked out of heaven. Who is it? Who is it that Satan's going to inspire to come against me that's going to be able to stand? No one. No one. No one.
Amen.
Because we're children of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.